There's all the talk today about Putin. What are Putin's motives? Is he a good man? Is he a bad man? What is he really wanting? And people are debating about this. But the truth is, it's very serious what he's doing. And he's not a good man. How do you know when someone is a good person or not? In today's world, it's very challenging because the line between good and bad, good and evil, has been blurred. People don't want to say, oh, that's a good person. Oh, that's a bad person. They think it's unloving to do so or unkind. And this notion of kindness has trumped the whole idea of actually recognizing danger, evil, and destructive people for what they are. And there really are hurtful and destructive people in this world. They are destroying people's lives every single day. And I feel like this whole notion of, oh, just be kind to anyone and everyone and everything goes. And if you judge someone and decide they're not a good person, then it's really you that has the problem. Well, scripture never says that. That's not helpful to the people who are falling victim to these bad people. And the reason I say this is because for the last 20 years, I've been dealing with predators. I had personal situations where I dealt with predators throughout my life, and I also have been dealing with them in a professional sense, helping people understand predators, who they are, what are they doing, what are their schemes, their tactics. I've worked with victims of human trafficking, victims of domestic abuse, victims of toxic relationship. And the reason I say victims is because predators target victims. A person is unsuspecting. They don't know that this person who is a predator is actually really a bad dude. And I say bad dude or bad guy because most of the time, the situations that I am working with involve male predators, but there are female predators as well, and we will get to that. But because there's so many women who have been impacted by so many male predators, and so many women and men who have been impacted by male predators, I want to talk about male predators primarily, and I will get to female predators too. And so it's not a male-female issue. Rather, it's for some reason, this is just the way that the cards fall. It's the way that things are. I think in all love of men, men, why are there more male predators than female ones? Well, I think sometimes because men are born with less, they're made with less awareness and sensitivity toward people issues in general sometimes. And so I think men have to learn those kinds of tendencies, and it'll help them grow. So how do you know when you recognize a predator? So who's a predator? What is a predator? How do you know what you're looking for when you're looking for who is a predator? There are lots of qualities of predators, and I can summarize them first so that you can be thinking about it. First, they make you uncomfortable. Two, they're intriguingly cunning. Three, they target the vulnerable. Four, they're manipulative. Five, they're scheming. Six, they're without conscience. Seven, they're ruthless. Eight, they're deceptive. 9, they blame their victim. And 10, they are knowing. So I'm going to talk about each of these in more depth. The first one is, predators make you uncomfortable. They make you uncomfortable. There's something about this person who is a predator. You don't know they're a predator, but you know when you meet them that they make you uncomfortable. And they do so in a way that you can't put your finger on necessarily. You just know, ooh, when I meet this person, they just make me uncomfortable. I met someone in a church setting, and he was in charge of recruiting people for this ministry opportunity. And there was something about him. He came across as kind and joyful and friendly, but there was something that made me uncomfortable when I met him, and it never left me. Every time I saw this person, even though the thing about predators is that they are seemingly innocuous to the unaware. They are people who others who aren't paying so much attention or aren't trying to cultivate as much awareness in their own life just think, oh, yeah, that guy, oh, yeah, he's a nice guy. And then they go on with their lives and they're just not paying attention. That's all I can say, because they're not aware of this person in the same way. So this person came across as, like I said, kind and joyful and friendly. But as I got to know him, there was this other side to him that was dark and scheming and ruthless. And it was very alarming, because over time, what I saw is that when things went his way, he was kind and he was friendly. In fact, he held a job where he was successful in the workplace. And the men and women who were in this large corporation where he worked also regarded him as successful, reliable, dependable. That's the thing. Predators oftentimes, they will go into their field and they will be regular, reliable, dependable when it comes to work. It's just behind closed doors. They are hurtful and conniving and scheming and hateful toward people. And they do it in a way that others can't see. They do it under the surface. They do it quietly. They do it, like I said, behind closed doors when the public isn't looking. And so what happens is they target their victim, and their victim is unsuspecting toward this targeting. And then they abuse their victim, whether it be verbally, emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually even. And I can explain that later. But the people who are outside of this dynamic do not know what is going on. And they don't believe the victim when the victim says, hey, this guy, he's a really bad dude. He did this, he did that. He's not who you think he is. And people say, oh, no, 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 you're wrong. You're being judgmental. How could you say that? What do you know? But you know, if you've been a victim of this kind of person, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Is there anyone who's listening to this who can relate to what I'm saying? So when I think of predators, in all the instances where I have dealt with predators, the one first quality that they all have in common is that they really do make you uncomfortable. I have found this to be true time and time again. But when you are a person who is prone to be a victim of predators, you're a more trusting person than the average person. You believe the best of people and you give people the benefit of the doubt, and you are kind and you are a good person and you're maybe more pure of heart than most people. And so you're more trusting and you're more vulnerable. And so when this person approaches you and they make you uncomfortable, you don't say to yourself, oh, this is a person that I need to be safe from and protect myself from and stay away from. You say, ooh, he makes me uncomfortable, but it's probably me. It must not be him. Gosh, I just need to love more deeply. I just need to be even kinder. And you start to talk yourself into this extra measure of kindness and goodness within you. And the irony is that as you relate to this person through time, he will eventually say to you when things don't go right and he's being horrible or awful to you, he will say, it is your fault. You are the reason, because you are not kind and you are not good and you're a horrible person and you're selfish. And he will start saying all these things to you, which they're not true. But as we know with abuse, when someone heaps something on you and they just keep pouring these fiery words on you, it's like a fire that scalds you and it never stops. And you go, ouch, ouch, ouch. It's not true. It's not true. And then because he keeps doing it, you finally say, well, maybe it is true, even though it's not true. I'm here to tell you it is not true. You are a kind and good and loving person. And whatever he has said to you, whatever he has said about you, it is not true. If you know what I'm talking about, then I want you to really take it to heart. You are kind and good and precious. And you are made to love and be loved. So back to the uncomfortability of this person. So they make you uncomfortable. There's just something about them. And you find yourself thinking this. You find yourself saying this. Gosh, there's just something about him. It just doesn't feel quite right. But then he lavishes this attention on you. And then it makes you second guess him. Because this is the second quality. He is intriguingly cunning. And I say intriguingly cunning because what he does is he comes on to you, or he comes over to you, or he tells you, oh, you are so beautiful. Or he says, ooh, you're one of the smartest people I've ever met. Or he is very intrigued by your ideas. Or he just says that you are the most beautiful person in the world. And he gives you a certain kind of stare with his eyes that most men don't give. And you can feel him looking at you even when you're not looking back. And when you look into his eyes, you feel as if he is piercing you with something more intense than you have experienced from most men. So predators are intriguingly cunning. And this isn't only so in romantic relationships. This is in their, when they're involved in politics, when they're involved as lawyers, when they are doctors, when they're in positions of power in these fields, CEOs of companies, the local sports coach. It can be any kind of area where this person has some kind of power or leadership role. And even people who are predators who don't have those leadership roles do this. But you're not expecting that someone in authority would also be a predator. But that's where the predators will often work themselves into ways of authority and positions of power because they are wanting to have more power over more people and to convince the whole world that they're just this amazing guy. And it's a game to them because they know deep inside that something is really wrong with them, that they really do have a problem. But they don't know what to do about it. So they figure that it's worth more to invest in faking out the world so that the world will think that they're a legitimate person, they're a decent person, they're a good person. And they do all kinds of things to try to make that the case. But when they're by themselves, or when they're in an intimate relationship with someone, or behind closed doors, or in their office with a subordinate worker, they will show this other side where you start to see, oh my gosh, this person, there's something really wrong. But how do they make you think otherwise? Well, it's because they're intriguingly cunning. What do they do in their to be intriguingly cunning? It's like I said, they have a certain way that they look at you and they use their eyes. And then they use their words in addition to that and say things to build you up and entice you into thinking that they think that you are so fantastic and that you are amazing and that they are the person in this whole world who recognizes how wonderful and amazing you are. Now, there are good love relationships and life relationships, personally and professionally. There are professional relationships in this world where people can build you up and they make you feel great when they do that. But it's not to this extreme, because it goes back to the first thing, which is they're making you uncomfortable still. You just know something is wrong. Well, where does that knowledge come from? Well, God has put in us an ability to learn to discern the difference between good and evil, between good and bad. And good and evil really do exist. And that's another part that I think today it's difficult in the world, because people are trying to convince us that it's not true, and they're blurring the lines between good and evil, that, you know, there's really no right and wrong. Everything goes, anything goes. You can be anything, you can do anything, you can be anyone. I mean, all those kinds of messages. And yet, good and evil really do exist, good and bad. And this person knows in their heart of hearts, that they are a bad person, but they don't want anyone to know. So this being intriguingly cunning adds to the intensity of their pursuit as a predator. And I say pursuit because that is what predators do. They pursue their victim. They run after their victim. They target their victim. They pick out their victim from afar, and they say, who can I allure and dominate for my own power, for my own pleasure? They receive a sick pleasure from this, a pleasure that comes from feeling an empty sense of exhilaration over dominating others, having power over them, hurting them, deceiving and manipulating them. It's something that those of us who are just regular people who are not driven by those things do not think of. We're not driven by it. We don't relate to it. But these predators are intriguingly cunning. The next quality is that they do target the vulnerable. And I say target the vulnerable because there are people in this world who are actually vulnerable to predators. They're the people who are trusting, who are loving, who are kind, who are good, or who are driven, perhaps, and not necessarily as trusting, but they have a vulnerability in their own life. Maybe they just got divorced, or maybe they just lost their job, or they lost a loved one, or there's something that just happened to them, and they're feeling vulnerable, even if they're not a vulnerable type. It can happen in all kinds of circumstances to all kinds of personalities. And I meet all kinds of women and men to whom this happens, where they say, gosh, you know, I was going along in my life just fine, and then all of a sudden this horrible thing happened, and then all of a sudden I met so-and-so, and then, but when they look back, they realize, oh my gosh, it's because I was in this situation where I felt vulnerable, and I didn't even know that's what I was feeling. But predators target the vulnerable. Surprisingly, whenever I was in graduate school, and even before, I've been raised in a Christian household and upbringing my whole life. And I have always been a person who has just sought and trusted the Lord, and I've gone to church and really wanted to be close to Him. And so I have been drawn to peace, love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, all the beautiful fruit of the Spirit, and wanted the abundance of that in my own life. And so in some ways, being a Christian even makes us more vulnerable, because we and any person who is practicing religion in a devout and trusting way, it's the being a trusting person that makes you vulnerable. And they target the vulnerable. And it doesn't mean that you shouldn't be vulnerable. It means that you just need to be discerning along with being vulnerable. Continue to have the beauty of your purity of heart, of your spirit, of your pursuits, and the fullness of life, and trusting in God, and all the beautiful parts of being vulnerable, but just couple it with discernment. Because this brings us to the next quality, which is predators are manipulative. They manipulate. They take something that was one thing and they turn it into another. If you think of a sculptor artist who has a ball of clay and it's one thing, and then he matches in it and turns it into something else. And you say, wait a second, what is this? This was that and now is this? How could this be? It's not the same anymore, but it must just be me. So they're manipulative. What they do is they take a circumstance and or a conversation or something that happened, and instead of acknowledging that they were the ones that did something wrong or they were the ones who caused something bad to happen, they manipulate it, they shape it into something else, and then they tell you, it's your fault, it's you're the problem, or you're the one that made this happen. And they're also scheming. So I could talk a lot more about manipulation, but I'll save that for another time, because I think we all know what a manipulative person is in general. But the scheming is as concerning, because they not only manipulate something and turn it from one thing to another, they're scheming about it. They plan it. They think about it. They think it through. And they use deception. And they make a plan. And yet again, then they blame you. Those of us who are trusting don't wake up scheming. We don't spend our time scheming. We don't think about, what is a way that I can take this person down? What is a way that I can overcome and overpower them? I've noticed a commonality with predators is a lot of times they will have had some kind of deficit in their upbringing when it comes to having a father in their life or a godly man who was a father figure in their life, even if they didn't have a father. They don't have that. Oftentimes, their fathers will either be distant or uninvolved, or will have run out on the family or had an affair or abandoned their children. And oftentimes boys who go through this turn into men that can have these kinds of problems because they have experienced parental abandonment in one form or another. Abandonment or neglect on the part of their fathers. And this is something that if you are a father, you should ask yourself, am I there for my children? Am I there for my family? Not only physically, but with my attention and my emotions, my words, am I supporting them and loving them and being attentive? Or am I distant? Am I focused on work all the time? Am I a workaholic? Am I running away from intimacy? These are really important questions. And if you're asking yourself and you're saying, yeah, I'm pretty good, I'm doing great, well, I also encourage you, ask your family, ask your wife, your girlfriend, ask your children, am I there for you? Do I make you feel loved and supported? Am I attentive enough to you? Is there something else that you would like me to be doing? And I often find that men are defensive when it comes to these questions because they want to try to be all, and they feel the pressure of responsibility, and they are already doing the best they can in so many cases. But humble yourself and ask this question to your family and see what they say. I help men a lot to learn how to be there for their families and to cultivate more awareness and have more intimate relationships and not run from intimacy, because having the wonderful relationships that we were made for, not only whether it's a male-female relationship or a parent-child relationship, but also in the workplace and in general, and even learning how to relate to ourselves with more love and goodness and support is a wonderful thing. And it doesn't come naturally, because it's supernatural. It's something that God gives us from His hand, And it's the higher way of life. And so it's something that we have to learn and be inspired to live into. And so it's not something that we all have innately, but we can get there. And it's part of the journey and pleasure of life. So having awareness is very important. And most normal, healthy people are conscientious about something or many things in their life, whether it's their responsibilities, the people around them to some degree or another. But predators are without conscience. Predators are, it's as if their conscience has been seared by a hot iron, and they don't feel and they don't think and they don't care with the normal conviction, concern, caring, and understanding that most people can at least tap into to some degree. Predators are without conscience. They do not feel concern, empathy, or care when they hurt or impact another person. Yet what's surprising is that they can feel an immense sense of personal pain when something happens to them and impacts them. This is even true for narcissists, it's true for predators, it's true for all kinds of people. And then there's also the spectrum beyond that, where sometimes people, they get so hard-hearted that they just don't feel anything. But I'm talking about people who are predators that feel something toward themselves, but somehow they just are disconnected from pain toward others. I remember I was talking to a little girl one time, because remember, like I said, men and women can both feel pain, and because males and females can both have some of these tendencies. And a beautiful, precious chicken had died, and I said to her, "Oh no, this chicken died," and it was so sweet, and I had tears in my eyes, and she saw the chicken too, and then she looked at me and she was like, "Why are you crying?" She didn't seem to understand grieving and mourning my favorite chicken. Okay, that's not really a great example necessarily, but predators are without conscience. They do not seem to have an attachment to other people the same way that most people do. And so it's very disturbing to try to reason with them, because they have no feeling, they have no care, they have no concern. You can talk to them about something for excessive amounts of time and they'll nod their head in agreement, but they really have no feeling toward what you're talking about. And so it's very alarming, and this is something to be very concerned about, that they are without conscience. This leads to the next quality, which is that they're ruthless. So you take the fact that they're without conscience to the next step. They are ruthless. Ruthless. They will go to no length to hurt and harm another person whenever it has something to do with them not getting what they want. What do they want? They want power. They want control. Deep within, somewhere, I earnestly believe they do want love. But they have such a huge love deficit, and they have personal wounds that have not been resolved, healed, or helped. And they're acting out in such a way that is cruel and calculating. And it's as if they can't be happy, then no one will be happy. If they can't have peace, then no one will have peace. If they are hurting, then they are going to hurt the world. But the predator does not acknowledge these things, because he is not in touch with how to live a completely fulfilled life in the truest sense of the word. Instead, he has an empty hole and a reservoir inside that he just keeps filling with his own bad deeds. And he receives joy from hurting other people, which is just so counterintuitive. I remember there's a book that was written long ago called Emotional Intelligence, and it talks about a research study that was done regarding abusers. And whenever they would do harmful things, their heart rate would go up. They would actually get excited by it. And I've seen this happen time and time again with predators that I have dealt with personally. They seem to be enjoying inflicting pain on others. You can see it in their body language. You can see it in their eyes. You can see it in the look on their face. It's a real sickness, but they are ruthless, ruthless. They have no conscience, but in addition to that, they go above and beyond and they exert torment on people. And then the irony of it all is they don't seem to feel any weight of the burden of what they have done. Instead, sometimes they will even laugh as if they did nothing or act like it was nothing. There's an amazing scripture verse which says, talks about the flaming, that someone who is unjust and ruthless is, it's like they're shooting flaming arrows of death and deceive their neighbor and then say, I was only joking. That's exactly what it's like. In addition, they are deceptive. They're deceptive through and through. They want people to think that they're a good guy, and how could anyone say anything wrong about them, or that they are an upstanding person and a model for society, and anyone who criticizes them is absolutely wrong. And they will go to no length to carry on this deception of appearing as one person in public or to their bosses, but behind closed doors with the people who know them the best, whether it's their family, their parents, their friends, others, their children, they are different. And yet the deceit that they practice is not confounding to them. Rather, it's a game because they play it without conscience, as if it's just part of life and life is a game. But life is not a game. Life is very precious and it's not meant to be gambled or gamed away. I'm concerned because I think a lot more people nowadays are living in these two realities, so to speak. There's virtual reality. They're living lives that cause them to separate between the actual and the virtual. And this is a problem because we call it virtual reality whenever people are immersed in gaming or in anything to do with what's going on their screens, whether it's a computer screen, a phone screen, a gaming screen, television screen. But in some ways, it's virtual irreality because the truth is, we need to get connected to each other, come back to the basics of being people, interacting with people again, face to face, hand to hand, eye to eye, life to life, and get connected instead of being living these divided lives where people start to disconnect from one another and they don't even know they're doing it. It's injuring our souls. It's injuring our lives in ways that people don't even realize. It's injuring relationships. So there's nothing like spending good quality time with the people that you love and trying to just live an undivided life. That, more on that later. That's a separate topic. But predators blame their victim. What they do is they lure unsuspecting victims and then they blame the victim. They lure the victim through grooming and many other steps, which we can go into at another time as well. But they have a process that they use to enchant someone and to entice someone into relating to them. They lure them in. They groom them. They make them think, oh, you're a wonderful guy, even though you're uncomfortable. And then after they've got you, whether they've got your trust, they've got your heart, or if they've been physically intimate with you, they've got your body, they have so much of you, then they turn on you and they start saying things to you and being harsh with you. It goes from, oh, I love you, you're the most wonderful person in the world, to, ooh, I'm the only one who could ever love you, to, ooh, no one could ever love you. And they blame the victim and they say, oh, wow, my life is horrible because of you. So how did this happen? How did they go from, oh, you're the most wonderful person, to, oh, my life is horrible because of you? It's the game. It's the game. And they blame their victim, which leaves the victim's head and heart and mind and soul spinning yet again, because you're going, oh, my gosh, what happened? I trusted this person and now my life is in shambles, or my heart or my job or my opportunity because of them. And yet they're telling me it's my fault. And then you start to possibly second guess yourself and say, well, maybe it is because I got involved with them. And then you try to explain it to other people and say, gosh, you know, this happened to me and da, 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 and I don't know what to do. And you know, I wish I hadn't gotten involved with that guy. He's such a bad dude. But, and then the people, because they're unaware and they don't understand the dynamics of predators, they say, well, you know, if you had never gotten involved with him, then this would have never happened. And yet again, they're just as discompassionate as the predator. And then they're blaming you that it's all your fault and they don't even realize it. And those people aren't predators. They're just regular people who really don't understand the dynamics of what you've been through. Because if you have been impacted by a person like this, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I want you to know you really are a victim. So the next question becomes, how do we live victorious lives and recover from these people and move on and have hope and healing? And that, yet again, is for another time. And we can go into that. But coming back to the qualities or the characteristics of predators. So after they've lured an unsuspecting victim and blamed the victim, they engage in cruelty. They are cruel, especially behind closed doors. That's where the most cruelty happens. It could be in your home. It could be in your workplace when the office door is closed. It could be at school when no one else is looking, in a classroom. It can be all kinds of places where, yet again, they've said all these wonderful things and all of a sudden they just lied into you and tell you you're a horrible person or you're selfish or they wish they had never known you or all kinds of just horrible statements that crush your heart because you've, by that point, they have enraptured you so, they have dominated you so, even though you don't really understand all the dynamics because you're just in the middle of it, but they have your heart in their hands and then they crush it. And it's really, really horrible because that is the ultimate cruelty. And whenever they do so through their words, through their actions, through their accusations, they crush you. They crush your heart. They crush your spirit. They do some kind of a damage that most people do not understand. But there is hope and help and healing for even that, to recover from it. But they do that. They are cruel. And yet again, they delight in it. And lastly, they are knowing. So often I've heard people say, oh, predators, they just don't know what they're doing. Those bad men, I don't even know. No, they do know. That's what people do not seem to realize. These men know what they are doing. They are not innocent. They are not innocuous, but they want other people to think that they are innocuous, that they are not harmful, that they're innocent. They just don't have a clue. Oh, it's really the victim. It's the victim's fault. The victim is the one. But they don't call the person the victim. They call the person by their name and treat them as if they're a fully capable human being who is not a victim. But what's really happened is they have injured this person's capability because they have tarnished their victim's credibility. They have injured their heart, their soul, their spirit. And lastly, like I mentioned in the beginning, I want to say that men aren't the only predators. Women can be predators too, absolutely. There are lots of women that I have met and known who are also very harsh and caustic and calculating and cruel. Like I said, in the dynamics that I deal with, it's mostly men who have been involved in the situations that I've dealt with. But I have known women who are predators also. I knew a woman in my workplace who was my supervisor in a job a number of years ago. And when we first came to this workplace, she was very kind of hesitant and quiet and did her work quietly. And then she became very full of herself and rose to power in the organization. And ultimately, she ended up taking over my department and my job because she wanted my job. And she deceived me in the process and called it good. And she was ruthless and she was calculating. And she did all of these things that I've talked about in a workplace relationship. And then on top of that, she even engaged in what I would say is workplace harassment. Because there was a man who, I'm a single woman, and there was a man who wanted to have a relationship with me and was very interested in me. And he was a very powerful person and a very influential person. But I just did not, I was not interested in him. And I said, no, thank you. And she heard about it. And one day, we were in the car together driving to an event because she said, come ride with me. And I said, okay. And she insisted that I go with this guy and that I get involved with him and that I go on vacation with him. And she was just making all these demands that I do this. And I said, no. And she got so angry that I wouldn't do what she told me to do that she just started doing other things to try to have exertion of power over me. And eventually, the way that she behaved drove me out of the organization because I had to get away from her. And there was one point where it came to a head where I said, please stop yelling at me. You're behaving like a dictator. And because she was a dictator in her own right, she went and told our boss, and of course the boss thought that I was in the wrong for saying that, and I ended up ultimately leaving that organization. But the organization, or what happened, didn't leave me. It's still in my soul to this day. I think of her and I think, my gosh, like, she went on to rise in power, and so many people thought she was a great person, but she's another form of dictator, and she's a woman. And I can sense spot women who are like that. And thankfully, since that time, I mean, I've worked in organizations with lots of great people who are not dictators and not predators. And it's been fantastic. And there are lots of good companies out there. And I love them dearly and they love me. And it's healthy and good and vibrant. But that one situation was very uncomfortable. And yet the irony of it is people who are predatory, when you try to report them or give your concern to someone, people don't always listen. There was a situation that someone I knew had where her athletics coach had begun a relationship with her, and she was underage and it was inappropriate. And she went through all the channels to try to handled the situation, but the school ultimately sided with him and just made her out to be a loose girl, even though he was really the problem, the foremost problem, because he was a predator who had done all these things that we're talking about here. And yet again, predators are seemingly innocuous to the unaware. They are seemingly innocent to the unaware. There are other people, other good men and good women, who would never think of doing such a thing or never be that way, and they don't have any deception or guile in them, and they don't act this way. They don't do these things, And so they can't even imagine when you come to them with your concerns saying, hey, this person is doing this and this and this, and it's really not good. And then they ignore it. Or sadly enough, in other cases, it seems that when you bring a concern to someone on a large scale like that, they're more interested in protecting their paycheck than they are protecting the child. And so the schools and other organizations try to hush-hush the problem as if it doesn't exist instead of solving it. And so what happens? The predator keeps on predatoring. So that's the case with this particular example. That man is still an athletics coach in that school, and he is still victimizing girls, and no one seems to be concerned except parents. But they turn a blind eye to it, and then everyone blames the girl and says that she was loose or says that she asked for it. So, which reminds me, I have also received a request from men that if you're a girl or a woman who's coming into your own and you definitely have that desire to be beautiful and attractive and noticed and those kinds of things, please, please think about what you're wearing. Just because all of the models are wearing these scantily clad clothes and revealing their body parts, what I find is that most men do not want to see so much skin on you. They like things to be left to the imagination. And I'm not saying like cover up your whole body and don't show any skin. I'm just saying be appropriate and leave something to the imagination, because no one really wants to see all your skin, including other women and girls. Like, people just get tired of it because it's just not appropriate, because it's not going to help you to attract the right kind of guy. And when I say right kind of guy, I mean the one who is like you, who is, he's pure of heart, he's loving, he's kind, he's good, he's decent. That's who you want in your life, right? No one starts out saying, I'm going to get a creepy weirdo, or I'm going to get a ruthless dictator for a boyfriend. No. Or husband. No one ever says that. No one ever thinks that. So then I think about today with the state of the way things are in the war. And people ask, is Putin a good man? What are Putin's motives? Well, Putin also has a lot of these characteristics. And that's a conversation for another time. The desire of my heart is that we would live inspired, that we would pursue the fullness of the goodness of God and the light of life and the land of the living, and that it would be a wonderful thing. So think of ways to do that. Safeguard your own heart and life from predators. If you have one in your life, or you're not sure, or you feel like you're in a toxic relationship of some sort, I am here for you to help talk it through, think it through, help you find hope, help, and healing, and get out of it. Because once you get in a relationship with a predator, it's difficult to work your way out of it, but it's possible, and you can do it. And there is hope, help, and healing on the other side of that difficult relationship. So please, please use your wisdom, learn to discern, and be blessed, not stressed. Live inspired. It's the best way to live. This message is brought to you by Mandy Seymour. You can learn more at mandyseymour.com.